Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Great to have you here. Easter Wednesday is a celebration all of its own. We have a special insert for tonight and one of my favorite texts, let's go fishing. So we'll see how that turns out for the disciples and for us in our gospel reading for today. A couple of words on our worship service for this evening. Our opening hymn we heard in the prelude, With High Delight, Let Us Unite, 483. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1, page 151 and following. Insert, readings are on one side, propers are on the other. No more Lenten responses, no more holding back from Alleluias or the Hymn of Praise. So we'll let it all hang out now during this season of Easter. Our hymn of praise will be This is the Feast, and we'll make sure that we are on the right page at the right time. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Son, whose perfect life, obedient death, and glorious resurrection has set us free. Too often we act as if Easter and the resurrection of Jesus is meaningless or unimportant in our life. Bring us to repentance. Help us to hear, as if for the first time, Your great love, which prompted Jesus to give up everything and then to pick it back up again in order to save us from utter destruction. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 483.
worship, divine service, setting number one, page 151, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of our introit. We chant them together, printed on your bulletin insert. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have
mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Almighty God, by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light. Grant that we who have been raised with him may abide in his presence and rejoice in the hope of eternal glory. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. The first lesson for Easter Wednesday comes from the third chapter of the book of Acts. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that His Christ would suffer, He thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak the words of the gradual together as printed on your bulletin insert. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let Israel say, His steadfast love endures forever. The epistle lesson comes from the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Church of God in Colossae. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked while you were living in them. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. We stand for the Alleluia and verse. Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, Jesus revealed Himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And He revealed Himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of His disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, We will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, Children, do you have any fish? They answered Him, No. He said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, It is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask Him, Who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after He was raised from the dead. This is the gospel of our Lord. May be seated for our sermon hymn number 485. 485.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. On the evening of the resurrection, Jesus walked through locked doors and appeared to his disciples. A week later, when Thomas was with them, he appeared once more. What an incredible experience this must have been to see their risen Lord standing among them. We are told that the disciples rejoiced because they had seen the Lord. This is perhaps a major understatement. Words cannot describe their joy. They had seen him die. They knew that he had been buried. And yet, now he stood among them, risen. And then he commissioned them to be announcers of the peace that he had won between God and man. He showed them his hands and side as proof that this peace had been purchased. And he told them, "As the Father sent me, now I am sending you." Their old lives were gone. They were part of a new mission. They were no longer the disciples, the learners. They were now the apostles, the sent ones. And then Jesus was gone, and the reality of life began to set in once more. The glory of his presence faded, and they were left alone. We've all experienced this kind of feeling to some degree. Perhaps your team won the championship, and for a brief moment you were on cloud nine. But the next morning, you still had to get up and go to work. Perhaps you had bragging rights for a week or two around the water cooler, but eventually this too became old news. Or perhaps you purchased a new car and you were so excited to go out and drive it. But long after the thrill had faded, the car payments kept coming due. And likewise, all Christians celebrated Easter last Sunday. But here we are, 3 days later on Wednesday. Life goes on, and you might find yourself wondering, did anything really change? Peter looked around. The resurrection was amazing. It had been an incredible experience to see Jesus alive in the flesh. But now Jesus was gone. Was anything really different? Now Jesus could come and go as he pleased. He could walk through walls and locked doors. He could eat or not eat as he chose. But not Peter. Remember, Peter was married. The kids still needed food on the table. The bills were still due. Life was still going on. And so Peter said, "I'm going fishing. I'm going back to my old job, back to my old life, back to the place I was before Jesus found me." And Peter wasn't the only one thinking this way. Luke tells us of the two disciples who left Jerusalem and were headed down the road to Emmaus, back to their old lives. And as they walked along and were sad, they were saying to one to another, "We had hoped that Jesus was the one to redeem Israel. We had hoped that things would be different. And now we're going back to our old lives." So on this day when Peter said, "I'm going fishing," Nathanael, Thomas, James, and John, and two other disciples said, "We're coming with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When the disciples left their nets 3 years earlier to follow Jesus, they probably never expected to have to go pick them up once again without him. And now, as they returned to their old lives, they found that they'd lost their touch. They fished all night and caught nothing. Had anything changed after the resurrection? Well, yes, apparently. Now life is worse. This is how it seemed. Disciples, as we know, are supposed to have a master, and fishermen are supposed to catch fish. And here are the disciples, no Jesus, no fish. That's two strikes. And we know that they all forsook Jesus and fled, and worse than that, Peter denied him. Strike three, Peter. It's true. Jesus had appeared briefly and said, "Peace be with you." But once he was gone, you know how the doubts begin to grow. Put yourself in Peter's shoes. Why am I not catching any fish? Why do I not feel the presence of God in my life? Why do I not seem like I have His blessing? It must be because of that sin that the devil's quick to remind you of. It must be that God is punishing me. Yes, I heard the pastor say, "I forgive you all your sins." I heard him say, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." But he doesn't know what I really did. This is what the ancient fathers called the dark night of the soul. And the devil would have you believe that you are the only one experiencing this. Forgiveness is fine for everybody else. Yes, I'm sure they're forgiven, but not me. But we'll find that every Christian has been in this same boat with Peter. No joy, no peace, no fish, no Jesus. But God's Word tells us, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And just as day was breaking, Jesus was standing on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Where did he come from? How long had he been standing there? We're not told. The truth is, Jesus was always there, but we just couldn't recognize him. And this had happened before. Once before, the disciples were toiling all night in the boat, rowing, not making any headway against the storm. And Jesus walked right by them, and they didn't recognize him. They thought he was a ghost. Mary Magdalene was weeping in the garden. She saw Jesus, but she thought he was the gardener. And the two men walking on the way towards Emmaus walked step for step with Jesus the whole way and didn't recognize him. Jesus was there. He was there because he promised to be there. For he says, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus' promise here is not conditional. He didn't abandon Peter because of his doubt or his denial. He didn't wait for Peter to get his act together, for him to leave the nets behind a second time, to muster up some faith. No, Jesus came looking for Peter. He found Peter in the midst of his vocation, in the midst of his mundane struggles, even in the midst of his doubt. Jesus wasn't content simply to have purchased the forgiveness of sins for all people on the cross. No, he wanted to deliver that forgiveness in person to Peter and to you. So Jesus didn't wait for you to find him. He came looking for you. He says through the voice of the prophet Isaiah, "I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. And I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me." Jesus came looking for you, and he found you in the darkness of your doubt, hoping against hope that his forgiveness was for you, hoping that it was real, yet hardly daring to believe that it could be true. Jesus stood on the shore and called out, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they said, "No." And that's the truth. Unless Jesus shows up in our lives today, we ain't got nothing. And that's the truth. We have nothing except sin and doubt. We have nothing except sore backs and frustration. You fish all night long, and what do you get? As the song says, another day older and deeper in debt. But this is not the end of the story. We serve a God of miracles. And one word from Him, and everything changes. Jesus said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of the fish. This is how Jesus is. He doesn't take us out of this world, not yet anyway. Instead, He comes to us where we are in this world, and with His Word, He transforms our mundane lives. His Word makes our labor fruitful. His peace transforms our lives and gives us purpose. His forgiveness gives us comfort and joy in the midst of the suffering in this life. Now, perhaps you still have doubts. Perhaps your faith is weak. Take courage. For when your faith is weak, in fact, when you feel how you have no faith at all, when you are faithless, He is faithful. He is the author and finisher of your faith. The burden of your salvation doesn't lie upon you. It lies upon Christ. He is the source of your faith. He bled for your doubt. His victory over death and the grave transforms your life, your marriage, your work, your vocations. His peace and the forgiveness of sins are real, and they are for you. So Jesus comes to you today. And once again, perhaps you didn't recognize Him. Perhaps when He came to you, instead of seeing a gardener as Mary Magdalene, perhaps you only saw bread and wine. But then a miracle happens. Jesus speaks, and that bread and wine is His body and His blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Perhaps all you saw was a man in a robe pronouncing the absolution. The words leave the pastor's mouth and they come to your ear. But these are not the pastor's words. These are the words of Christ. These are the words of your God who speaks. This is who God is. He is the God who speaks. He spoke in the beginning and created the universe out of nothing. And He speaks to you today. And out of the nothingness of your doubt and your unbelief, He speaks and creates faith. He speaks to you today, and your sins are forgiven. He speaks to you today, and all things are made new. Jesus is risen. He has come looking for you, and now everything has changed. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. We stand to confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father.
Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In addition to the prayer requests that are listed in our bulletin, we pray for the family of Sam Malone, who passed away this weekend. We pray for the family of Joel Caldall, whose grandmother is hospitalized. We pray for the family of Dwayne Kratke, and especially for Dwayne, the brother-in-law of Deborah Baker, whose cancer is spreading rapidly. We pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, teach us to believe that Your Son, Jesus Christ, truly died and is truly risen from the dead for us and for our salvation. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Transform us, gracious God, that we may hear this good news, believe it, and live in the freedom that You so graciously provide. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Teach us through the ups and downs, the joys and sorrows of this life, to cling to Your holy and precious Word in season and out of season. For in Your Word is life. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Great Physician of body and soul, You chasten and You heal. We beg You to show mercy to all of Your servants who are sick or suffering this day. Especially we remember Shelley, Betty, Joel's grandmother, Dwayne, and all those that we remember in our hearts. If it be Your good and gracious will, grant healing and grace in the midst of their affliction. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, You are a God of life, not a God of death, and yet through death You bring life and life everlasting. Be with all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones this week. For the family of Alice Krause, for the family of Sam Malone, for all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, whether that loss be fresh or years or decades in the past. May their comfort be in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, victorious over death and the grave. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all those, Lord, who come at Your gracious invitation to receive the very body and blood of Jesus in, with, and under bread and wine. Bless us with truly repentant hearts and eyes of faith. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into Your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in Your mercy through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, crucified and risen for you. This time we ask that you participate in the rite of fellowship, pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship tonight. Special word of welcome to those who are visiting and to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. May the good news of Christ risen for you be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. We continue now with the offertory, page 159. Please stand as you're able. Give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and borne the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death. By his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord,
you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we received the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and in the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your Word and Spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood, as He bids us do in His own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and His kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." The same way also He took the cup after supper. When He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of Me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Body of Christ. 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 Body of Christ.
Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Amen. We continue with the post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord, page 164. Please stand as you're able.
Thank the Lord.
Pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, 488. About Easter is we get to celebrate it for 7 weeks. 7 weeks. That even trumps the 6 weeks of Lent, doesn't it? Yeah. All right. So lots of hallelujahs, lots of Christ is risen, and don't get tired of it. Rejoice in it. That gift that God has given to us each and every day. Bible study. We'll continue looking at Luke 1 and 2 in the fellowship hall. Choir. Choir upstairs in the balcony, thank you. Lifelight tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And we've got two more Wednesdays of our midweek instruction. So we thank God for the gift of confirmation for our 10 confirmads this last Saturday night. And we'll be bringing things to a close here with our confirmation year and our school and preschool year as well. We do have one significant announcement that we want to make, and I think for this I'll turn it over to Pastor Murundi. How does that sound?
I think it was about a month ago we in a special voters meeting extended a call to a Mr. Keith Barragay to be the headmaster and teacher of our school. He declined the call during Holy Week, and so the school board through the council. Approved it last night. We are calling another special voters meeting on the 30th of this month, so the last Sunday of this month. Same format as before, right after the 8 a.m. service, so 9:10 or so. And we have a name. Her name is Mrs. Mary Eric. Her information is on the bulletin board back there in the fellowship hall, as it was for Mr. Verige. And so keep the school in your prayers, and consider this the official 10-day notice for the special voters meeting.
Okay, it'll be in the bulletin and news and notes on Sunday, but Sunday, April 30, at as close to 9:10 a.m., right after the 8 o'clock service as we can possibly make it. All right, I think that's all. Have a great day and week and Easter season in the Lord Jesus.